once again to you, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in Yeshua, in Yahushua, HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior. Yes. I greet you all in that matchless name, the name that is above every other name, the name by which we are saved, you and I, and all that will turn to Him, all that will answer the call. The many are called, but the chosen are few. And you and I are among God's chosen. Why? Because we did not harden our hearts when He called, but we sought to follow Him and to go wherever He would take us and lead us, whatever the cost or the consequence may be. Yeah, so that is who we are, and that is what we are doing in this life. It's a good day. Yeah, back-to-back drive time. So I got a little bit of time in the car today, truck today. So it's a nice window, and we'll see. Sometimes we don't post. Well, I guess we pretty much put the stuff up when we record it. Occasionally we have some technical glitches or something happens or something can't go out. But yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so when people get weird on you, when people start to snap at you, don't get mad at the people. Because you gotta see the spirit that is behind them, that is pushing them, and that is, you know, when you get tired, when you get depleted, when you have, when energy is gone, when you've spent yourself, it's much easier in that vulnerable state for the enemy to come at you and for him to get some inroads. You know, I mean, when Jesus was the ultimate example with how that testing would work. When he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy came to him, you know, in a weakened state, and then started bringing all that stuff to him. In a weakened state in the flesh, but, you know, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So, but in that, God triumphed over it and showed, you know, how we also go through and we also overcome. We overcome in Him, and we get through all of these things that may be coming our way. So in that process, realize that there are people that are definitely going to come at you. But it's not them. It is the spirits that are behind them. It's the spirits that are suggesting things to the mind. See, okay, there's a realm of spirit that is more real than this one. This world of flesh and matter and material is the outer limits, if you would, of this reality that we're around. And so things are birthed in spirit, but then they, you know, this is sort of like the end of the whip as such. So it begins, you know, at a certain point, you know, at the wrist snap, but then as it gets towards the end of it, then it kind of comes out in the people, depending on which side that they are committed to, where their allegiances are, where their hearts are at. So that's why, you know, in the devil's kingdom, and as it manifests here in the earth, the people that have high rank and position in the devil's kingdom are those that are completely sold out to it, because they want to get their purposes done. So they want to get their things accomplished. So they look for, you know, people that will take the satanic initiation, that will sell themselves out to that system for the purpose becoming something, becoming a person of rank in that whole thing. The irony being that they get scalped once that happens, and the person, if there's anything there, it may be a shell of what that person once was, but otherwise, that person really isn't there anymore. And it's demonic forces animating that person for the window of time that they use that carcass. But it's realize the spirits that are behind much of what comes at you, because you got to see things on that level. So, you know, so you don't get mad at the person, because, you know, okay, let's make it a little bit practical here. So say, you know, somebody's had a long day, and you walk in, and you say, hey, how you doing? Nice day, isn't it? And they snap back, what's nice about it? Now, instead of getting mad at the person, or instead of, like, you know, sort of getting defensive, realize that person, it's not really them as such. You know, I mean, sometimes there's some grumpy old people, and just they're mad and bitter, and they've been festering, you know, with unforgiveness and all of that, and that's just who they are. But it's something that pushes through them, that's manifest in a spirit realm, that then comes at you. And in order to not get drawn into your flesh yourself, see, it's a trap. It's a trick. There's a purpose behind it. The purpose of that manifestation in that person is to now try to draw you into a carnal level, to draw you off of the realm of spirit and connection. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Oh, there we go. That guy, luckily, anyways, you didn't want to see that. Thank God it's radio. Okay, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That is the purpose that they don't ever want you to solidify yourself in. And once you do solidify yourself in that, that's where they want to try to draw you off of. So, you know, for us, it is a challenge, because, and it's a challenge, it's a day-to-day, moment-to-moment, event-to-event thing that it becomes a discipline. See, that's the part of what it is to be a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined person. A disciple is a person that seeks for mastery in the things that are important. So for you and I, you see, you can waste your life becoming a master at the stupidest things and at the things that mean nothing. So, for example, how many guys got those video games out there? Those PS3s, or I don't even know what the latest gaming systems are. You can become a master at that. You can become a master at a video game and get through all the levels and conquer the thing and then start doing it for time and all of that. What does it benefit you? Well, obviously it's just a big time waster, but on how many other levels is it the same thing apply? How many people get mastery in being a worlder, in being how to, the moves in this world and how to work your way through, but at the end of it, it's just a worthless video game, because there's no eternal value, there's no lasting value for any of what you put yourself into. So, you know, for us, the call is to also realize, here are the things that are important. Here are the things that have lasting value. Here are the things that are worth you investing your time, your energy, your resource into. Now, I got to make a clarification here too. See, we are in the world, but not of the world. God's people are called out ones. Now, the pattern that I've seen in the way that God works with us, and I see it in the scriptures as well, is first Jesus calls. His spirit, no man comes unto the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So God draws a person unto himself. The Spirit of God will begin to stir that in a person's heart. Now, a person that responds to that call will then say, okay, Lord, I want to follow you. I want the real thing. I want you. That is the beginning of the salvation process. That is the beginning, because salvation isn't a prayer that you pray. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he is a way. That means he's a direction. He is a journey. He is something that is day in and day out, moment by moment, you are going in that way. He is not some, you know, raise your hand, come over here, pray this prayer, now everything's done. No, he's a way. In fact, how many people have turned back? You know, this started out right, started out well. But so what he does is he calls. Now, then what does he do after he calls somebody? Well, then what he does is he pulls you into the wilderness. The Spirit compels you into a wilderness situation. He fills you with His Spirit, and then He compels you into the wilderness. And with that compelling, what happens is you are then put into a place where God burns the world out of you. God burns the ego out of you, the prince out of you, the king, the pharaoh, the whatever it is that you were going to be. He destroys that utterly, to the point where you don't trust anything in and of yourself. It's just Him. And you realize that this life is Him, it's all about Him, and you go through, in your own way, a very real death. In everything except actually stopping breathing. So you go through a very real process where, you know, you basically die to yourself. You die to whatever it is that you thought you were going to be, what it is that you wanted, what it is that you hope for. All of that is now dead, laid at the feet of God. And now the life that you now live is hidden in Him. The life that you now live is who it is that Christ is in you, and not who it is that that you would think of being. So, you know, the process is from there is then, okay, now it's over, it's done. You're pretty much, you're basically, Lord God, all right, whatever it is that you want, that's the way that I want to go. Then He sends you back. He sends you in. He sends you with an assignment into the world. In the world, but not of the world. And then whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you are, whatever it is that He has for you to be, you're grateful for that. You yield yourself to that. You submit yourself to that, and that's it. So if it's being a janitor, praise God, you're a janitor. If it's being a CEO, praise God, you're a CEO. If it's being a head of a government or a country or an inventor or whatever it may be, it's whatever He calls for. And the victory that comes for you and the freedom that comes for you is when He's the one directing you, when He's the one leading and guiding you. Because if you fail to do that, if you hold on to a personal agenda, what happens is you miss it then. You then miss the life that God intends for you. Because see, what you want in this life, you don't want money as such. What you want is a fulfilled life. And see, so the worlders, what they do is they think they can buy a fulfilled life. So that's why they chase after money. And because they think if they get enough of that, they can now buy themselves a fulfilled life. But it doesn't work. A fulfillment comes from God. Fulfillment comes from Him. To have peace and to enjoy what it is that you do, to enjoy what it is that you put your hands to, that comes from Him. And without that, direction, without that fulfillment, what are you doing here? You're miserable. And see, the fulfillment that comes from Him also, it comes when He's calling the shots. It comes when He's the one that is the director of your life. See, if He doesn't direct you, if He doesn't lead and guide you, you think you can figure out how to walk through this life and through this world? No one can figure it out themselves. No one can make it through this life without Him. See, not a soul came into this world to stay in this world. We've said that and we've marked that out enough and more times. For us, the purpose that's necessary is to stay on track with Him. See, He'll direct you. What He'll do for those that are willing is He'll say, okay, trust me in this. See, that's faith. The word faith and the word trust are the same thing. And what He wants you to do is He wants you to trust Him. And this is part of the process of life, is learning that. Is learning that He's in control, and that when He gives you a direction, when He leads and guides you, that He does have your best interest at heart. See, this is one of the hard things, I think, for us, is especially when He sends you into a difficult situation. See, it's hard to go into a difficult situation, to leave, because if you see things through your flesh, if you see things through your natural eyes, you'll wonder. You'll be like, okay, wait a second. Why am I leaving a place of comfort and a place where things are easy to now go into a difficult context, to now go into a difficult situation, to now, if you would, trust God in something that He's leading me into, but it's not easy. And it's not. And then when things don't work out, so you think, oh, okay, I'm going to go into this thing, I'm going to be this great man of God, this great woman of God, do all these things, and then all of a sudden you are put in obscurity for 5 years, and everything that you try to do doesn't work, and all of your natural abilities that you would put to bear on a situation fall to nothing. Now what? Do you still trust Him? And He gets quiet. Oh yeah, that's always fun. When God gets quiet and all of a sudden it's tough for you to hear His voice. Do you still trust Him then? You know, that is part of a season, by the way, when God gets quiet. And, you know, you check yourself, you check your spirit. You see, did you do something, you know, did you willfully sin against Him? Did you do something that is bringing a block between you and Him? Are you harboring unforgiveness in your heart? So you go through those checks. But if there's none of that's there, then it's just, then you can realize too, that's part of a season of testing. That's part of this process that He puts His people through. He wants you to come to a solid place where no matter what happens, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He requires my blood, yet will I trust Him, yet will I not turn against Him. It's what happened to Jesus. Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus, our Savior, He did not, He didn't back away. He saw it. He recognized it. And knowing that it was the will of the Father, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, He embraced it with all that He was, and He went through, and He overcame. And death was swallowed up in victory, and thank God that Jesus did that for us, for you and for I. Because without that, we would have been stuck in a Christless eternity and separated from God for all time. So, see, we get a chance in this life to experience the love of God, the restoration of God. We get a chance in this life to experience what a portion of the depth of His love for us. And it comes on His terms, and He exposes and reveals that to us as we follow Him, as we trust Him. See, it's hard for me sometimes because I know and I see a number of people that prop themselves up as spiritual leaders as such, but they're not. And then when they, because see, here's the thing, you can't assume this unto yourself. See, yes, we are part of the priesthood of all believers, but each person within this has an area of assignment that God gives them and an area of spiritual responsibility. You can't choose it unto yourself. I cannot get up there and say, oh, okay, I like this guy, I'm going to make him a pastor and give him now an accreditation. And no, that doesn't work. That's the way the world does it with all their jobs and all their stuff. Anything on a flesh level, sure, fine, do it like that. You've learned some principles in the flesh, and now you can accredit yourself in the flesh, and it's fine. But not in the realm of spirit. A man only has, in the realm of spirit, what it is that has been given him by God. You only have responsibility in the realm of spirit based on the assignment of God. And that's why, you know, so many of the people that I know that are true ministers of the gospel, true ones, they didn't seek it. They weren't trying to become ministers as such. They just love God with all of their heart, and whatever He would tell them to do, He would do. They would do. I mean, whatever He would tell them to do, they would do. They would willfully follow the leading of the Spirit of God. And that just happened to be part of it. Was He said, this is part of what I want you to do. I want you to preach and teach my word. I want you to minister to the saints. I want you to help them to grow up into the knowledge of me and not to be tossed to and fro anymore with every wind of doctrine. And because they love God, they willfully accepted that calling, that assignment. You know, there has to be something wrong with you, seriously wrong with you, for you to try to be a pastor and to not have been called by God to do it. Oh my gosh, you've got to be insane. Because they don't have the grace of God for that assignment. See, the grace of God, God's grace, God's power that works on our behalf. You have to have the grace of God for the work that God calls you to. That's why you have to allow for the Spirit of God to reveal what that is. Because if you know what that is, then you know that God's power is working on your behalf for you to do that and for you to accomplish that. But if you're out of position, if you're trying to do something that he didn't call you to, his power is not there. And what are you left with? You are left with human effort. You are left with human ability. You're left with a human spirit. And if the devil latches on to you, you're then, now what he does, because you're out of position, is then he latches on and he puts in demonic power that then props those people up because they want to be something, they want to have some results for all of their efforts. After all, they did get a degree from a seminary, they got a degree and they got to make something work because, hey, baby needs a new pair of shoes and I am 80 grand in the hole for all of those worthless courses that you took. You think by studying the scriptures that you're going to know him, but they testify about him and you do not know him. No. You would have done better to not have gone there when he spoke to you in the first place and told you not to go there. But you didn't listen. You listened to the voice of man. You listened to the voice of people that told you, if you love God, this is the way you should go. And alas, you know what? That's one thing too. You got to listen to what the Spirit of God says. You've got to, the small instructions that he gives you, they're big things, because you take a wrong direction here or there, and all of a sudden it has longer term consequence. And this is something that, so, you know, in the process of people choosing to ignore the voice of God, and then they try to gloss over it, it really is a difficult thing to see. Yeah, also another thing that's difficult to see is this traffic that I'm right in the middle of. This is where God has me. Wow. Okay, so I love it. I love it. You know what? I love it. I love being in the will of God. I love being where it is that God would have me to be. I love doing what it is that he has for me to do. Because you know something I have learned? I have learned that God takes care of his own. I have learned that whatever it is that I need, it is there for me as I trust him. You know, God taught me an important principle way early on. He spoke this to me. And he said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. And, you know, it has been so true in my life. Whatever I have needed, when I've needed it, when I've truly needed it, it's been there. And that's the way he is with his people. You know, there's a lot of things people worry about. Look, you don't need it. He'll take care of it when that time comes. You know, let the deadline pass. You still didn't need it by the deadline. The man set the deadline. You didn't set the deadline. God didn't set the deadline. Let that thing pass and now see what happens. Now watch the miracle of what God does. Trust him. See, this is what's cool. When you are in position with God, when you are in step with him, you can trust him. And when you trust him, what happens is he comes through for his people. The one thing that we need to focus on is staying in step with him, is obeying the voice of the Spirit of God. Don't make it more complicated than that. And when you slip, when you mess up, when you take a wrong turn, get up, turn around, get back to, but just get back on track. A broken and a contrite spirit, he's not going to turn you away, you know, but seek him and seek to stay there with him. No, it's a good thing. You know what? I, for me to be his, to belong to him, to be, as it were, the hand of God extended into the earth. You're that. I'm that. We're that. We are the extension of his kingdom. And I know what I am. See, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I can ask or think. I know who I follow. I know who I trust. I know who I serve. I know who speaks to me and speaks through me. I know the voice of the Spirit that leads and guides me. I have confidence in that. I have assurance in that. I know that he's with me. I know the high calling that he has on my life, on your life. God has a high calling on your life. You are destined and called to that. Will you respond? Will you take up the challenge? Yes, we get kicked. Yes, we get attacked. Yes, all that comes. But you know what? Fine. Let it come. You don't have any trial that is not common unto men. You don't go through anything that his people haven't gone through before. And none of us will face to the level that Jesus faced, you know, as far as a culmination of an experience. He that knew no sin became sin for us. That alone I could ponder for a lifetime and never come to grips with completely. He that knew no sin became sin for us. Staked to a tree. Staked to the tree. There's your tree of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. There's your life. If you eat of him, you shall have life. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's, you know, all that to say, yes, too, it's not easy. Like, I know that. I know this thing is not easy. But God has kept it simple. God has kept it simple. And if you allow it to stay simple, you're going to make it. You're going to be just fine. Take it one day at a time. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Look, if you're in a situation, here's another thing. I just had a good friend, you know, write me, who's kind of struggling with some stuff. Don't let this stuff play out in your head. Don't let this stuff stay in your head. You know, if you're struggling with a lot of things right now, here's a good drill. Get yourself a piece of paper and a pen and find a quiet spot where you're not going to be interrupted. Leave the cell phone on silent and outside and go into that room, shut the door behind you, and pray for some time, be in the presence of God. And then what you do is just take that which is just start writing. And write out all the stuff that's on your mind. Write out all the stuff that's on your heart. Everything that is bugging you. Everything that is troubling you. Everything that is giving you grief. Write it out. And put it all down. All of it. And once you stop, wait for a little while. You'll get a few more things. Just keep putting it down there. Get it on paper and out of your head, and then look through it and say, okay, what can you do something about, and what is something that, you know, it's really not yours, you just have to leave that before God's feet. And then just go through and write a set of steps, of actions for the things that you can do something about, and then do them, and the rest of it, put that before God in prayer. You will feel an incredible weight come off of your shoulders if you just do that. Because see, one thing that the enemy wants to do, okay, back to the verse we already talked about, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. God will keep you there if your mind is there and in the Word. The enemy wants you and your mind to not be there. And so if he can have all kinds of other stuff floating around in your mind, he'll do that. He'll push it on you. And what's going to happen is you're going to have that in your head and not him. Your mind is not going to be stayed on him. It's going to be stayed on your perception of your problems, because a lot of problems too are not even that real. A lot of things that people allow and consider to be problems are really, they're imagined. They're imagined. Here's some of you like, oh, you think this is... No, think. You know what? They are... Okay. If you... Just stop for a second and think of it like this. If you were to pass from this world right now, right this moment, you were to leave this life, of all those things that you're worried and stressed about, how many of them are you going to be worried and stressed about subsequently if you passed right away? Are you still going to be worried about those things? No. Why? Because they're all pertaining to this life and they have no bearing on what is to come. So yeah, we do our diligence in this life. We do our diligence in this world. We do what we can with that which is around us. But don't let it become something that gets you off of the track that you need to be on. And don't let it rule your brain. Because too many people get so darn emotional about things. You know, you take stuff personal, and it's not. You know, the world would love for you to take all of this stuff, to take yourself seriously. The world would love for you to take yourself seriously, for you to be offended. I'm offended. You know what? Look. We're made out of earth. You know, it's amazing. We're just walking around on the face of this planet, made from the same substance that the world is, that the earth is made of, and we exist here for a window of time. And God has breathed His breath into us. The Creator Himself has put His breath into us, put His Spirit. Spirit lives inside those that are His. This whole thing is His. This whole thing is... So all these things that people get stressed out about and worry about, those aren't things that He's worried about. So why are you? Look, just trust Him as you go forward. Trust Him in the situations that you might face. And don't worry. Don't worry. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So, you know, if you choose to go this line, He'll take care of you. He takes care of His own. So, yes. Oh, also, don't forget, drop us an email occasionally. If you haven't written in before, we like just to know that you're out there and just to know how you are. So, you know, feel free to write us. I know, you know, we don't get back to everybody, because there's not a lot of us, and you know, we do what we can with the resources and the time that we have. So you know, so if it takes some time, for us to get back to, you know, again, it's not personal. So, but, you know, we like to hear from you. We really do. And, you know, if there's things that we can do to improve, you know, the way that things go out, you know, this nice new plus minus thing. Oh, on the homepage, if you haven't already noticed it, next to the audios, when they're listed, there's that little plus sign. If you click on that, it gives, you know, kind of a little bit of a write-up there for what the audios are. That was an idea from one of your fellow listeners, wrote in, said, hey, is it possible to do this? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, they said it's really nice to listen the way it is, but sometimes it's nice just to have a little idea of what might be in there. And, you know, we worked on it, and there you go. So, so yeah, if you got some suggestions or something like that too, by all means, because, you know, we want as much as we can, do what we can to make this as beneficial as it can be to those of you that use it. So, so yeah, hey, just God bless you. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. You know, don't worry about anything. He's in control. And He loves you. He has your back. And He's going to take care of His. So, alright. So, hey, I got to take off. God bless you. Love you. And I'll catch up with you again sometime soon.
Thank you.